Welcome in. It's the Wednesday edition of the Doug Russell Podcast. Another one of those shows where I had one thing planned and then something happened and we had to go 180 degrees the other way. But such is life. As we like to say in radio, well, that's live radio. Well, this isn't live radio. This is on-demand audio. But sometimes when events warrant, we have to kind of shuffle the deck and still use what we're going to do in, if not next week, then the week after that. It's a little bit of a deep dive, kind of John Oliver last week tonight style, what I have planned for you. So it might be one of those shows where it gets a little deep in the weeds, but that's for another Anything Goes Wednesday. Today, instead, we've got the latest on Aaron Rodgers, what he said on Sunday, what he meant, and we'll have some highlights from the only regular interview that he does. That doesn't mean the post-game Zoom gaggles. That doesn't mean the Wednesday during the season media availabilities that he has with the Wisconsin press. But instead, every week he talks to Sirius XM's Pat McAfee, former NFL punter, many years with the Indianapolis Colts. Also, AJ Hawk is on that show as well. We will get to that, but we have to start with some actual news from Wednesday morning. Former Packers safety Leroy Butler let his Twitter followers know that he is not going to be in the class of 2021 at the Pro Football Hall of Fame. At some point, I think Leroy is going to get there, and that's a change of opinion that I have had over the last several years. Because if I'm watching Leroy Butler play, as I did when he was doing so many great things on the field for the Green Bay Packers, I didn't see a Hall of Fame player. And I'm just being honest. I saw a great player. I saw somebody who was certainly going to be a Packers legend. I saw someone who absolutely was going to be in the Packers Hall of Fame. But I didn't see someone who was the top 1% of the top 1%, which is what basically the Pro Football Hall of Fame should be. Not everybody gets there. Most, I mean, and when I say most, 99.99% of players that play in the NFL don't get to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. When I think Hall of Fame, yeah, I think of guys like Aaron Rodgers. I think of guys like Brett Favre. I think of guys like Reggie White. I think of guys like Charles Woodson, who is still a first balloter who we haven't heard yet, at least as of taping this. I suspect that Charles Woodson is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer this time around. You kind of know a Hall of Famer when you see one. And I never felt that about Leroy Butler until you kind of scratch the surface a little bit more. There aren't that many safeties that are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. There are a few, but not very many. But if you look at what Leroy Butler did during the time he was in Green Bay, he was just about the best safety in the NFL. Multiple-time All-Pro caliber player, multiple-time Pro Bowl player, someone who was always making the plays, someone who was a ball hawk, and people, you know, they like to say, well, he invented the Lambeau leap, they should just put him in for that. Okay, I think people are kidding when they say that. But it did provide kind of this, I guess, touchstone for Packers fans as well. So I do think that Leroy Butler at some point is going to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Obviously, it's not going to be in 2021, but most players that are, again, you know a Hall of Famer when you see one, whether it's Peyton Manning, who's going to be named the Pro Football Hall of Fame, or Brett when he went in, or Aaron when he goes in, or Tom Brady when he goes in, you know, like that, they're Hall of Famers. So being in the Hall of Fame, you know, you can, when you can write legitimately HOF and then the year that you were inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame or Baseball Hall of Fame or Basketball Hall of Fame, nobody can take that away from you. So take this with a grain of salt the way that I say it, because it's going to sound pejorative and I don't mean for it to sound pejorative. But when you're a fringe Hall of Famer, again, if you're a Hall of Famer, you're a Hall of Famer. But there's a difference between first ballot Hall of Famers and guys that get in on, you know, their 9th or 10th or 16th or 27th year of eligibility. So when you're a fringe Hall of Famer, it just takes a few tries. This is the second time in as many years that Leroy Butler was one of the 15 finalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So sometimes it takes a few tries. Sometimes it takes three tries. Sometimes it takes five tries. Sometimes you're a finalist seven or eight times. That's what being a fringe Hall of Famer. Again, if you're a fringe Hall of Famer, you're still better than 99% of everybody else that ever put on shoulder pads and a helmet. 99.99% of anyone who's ever put on shoulder pads and a helmet. So again, like I said, it sounds pejorative. I don't intend it to be that way. But when you're a fringe Hall of Famer, you don't get in on the first try or the second try. Sometimes not even the third try. Leroy Butler retired, what, 20 years ago? Charles Woodson retired 5 years ago. You can't get him into the Hall of Fame fast enough. Same thing with Peyton Manning and some of those other guys that I named as well. When Joe Montana retired 5 years later, they already had the bust carved and waiting for him in Canton, Ohio. They may have already done errands. I don't know. He's going in on his first ballot. Brett went in on his first ballot. They carved a bust that looks like Mason Crosby, but that's neither here nor there. Aaron Rodgers is going to get that. I hope, you know, he gets one that looks like him as opposed to Brett. But I think Leroy Butler will get there at some juncture. It's just not going to be this year. But he's a good guy. I've known Leroy for a long time. Obviously, he's done sports radio in Milwaukee for a long, long time. And I do wish him the best. And I will be happy to celebrate with him when he does finally get that knock on the door. You get the phone call when you don't make it. You get the knock on the door from David Baker when you do. And if you want to see tears flow, just watch when Jerry Kramer finally, after, I mean, how long did he have to wait, for crying out loud, to get into the Pro Football Hall of Fame? Just the tears started to flow, and that was a terrible injustice that had taken literally decades to cure. Okay, so Leroy Butler aside, this is the most pressing story in the state of Wisconsin right now, apparently. That question, that story is, what's the deal with Aaron Rodgers? Aaron got tongues wagging near the end of his post-game news conference on Sunday in the wake of the Packers' loss to the Buccaneers in the NFC Championship game.
I'm gutted for Big Dog, and obviously I'm hurting for myself, Mason, some of the older guys, Tremont coming back. But it hurts for those young guys, too, who grew so much this year and added so much to our team. And, you know, him and Allen and Bobby and Jamal. Yeah, just the uncertainty of it all is so difficult, the abruptness. You know, so many futures a little gray right now. So it's, you know, it's definitely sudden.
We'll do two more. Steven Watson.
Aaron, understanding that roster might look a lot different for next year, what did this particular team mean to you at this point in your career?
Yeah, they're all special for sure. I think this one, as much as any of them, I just found some really special friendships with, you know, Mercedes and Devontae. Especially Tim and I have become really close over the years. Jamal, I love Jamal. Aaron Jones. There's a lot of guys' futures that are, you know, uncertain, you know, myself included. That's what's sad about it most. Getting this far, obviously there's going to be an end to it at some point, whether we make it past this one or not, but just the uncertainty is tough, and the finality of it all.
Last one, Bill Huber.
Yeah, it's kind of along those lines. This would probably be a better question for next week, but we might not get you next week. So how do you go on from here? I mean, you kind of hit on some of the realities a minute ago. So how do you go on from here? How do you take the next step?
Yeah, Bill, it's a good question. I don't know. I really don't. There's a lot of unknowns going into this offseason now. And I'm going to have to take some time away for sure and clear my head and just kind of see what's going on with everything. But it's pretty tough right now, especially thinking about the guys that may or may not be here next year. There's always change. That's the only constant in this business. It's really tough to get to this point. Really, really tough. Especially with it only being one bye week in the playoffs. It's a grind just to get to this point. And that makes the finality of it all kind of hit you like a ton of bricks. That's why it's a gutting feeling in your stomach. But I do appreciate you all and the job that you've done this year. I appreciate our interactions. Appreciate the opportunity to share every week. And always be thankful for this season.
So that was Sunday. As I record this, it's Wednesday. But let's rewind the clock and the calendar to Tuesday of this week. So yesterday, if you're listening to this on Wednesday, or if you're listening to this on Thursday, just 2 days ago, this is a small portion of the only interview that Aaron Rodgers does on a regular basis. I mean, he'll sit down with the Fox crew before the game, and he'll do his interviews with Aaron Andrews, and he does his gaggle with the Wisconsin media. Used to be at his locker. Now it's, because of COVID, done virtually, does postgame. But this is the only interview that he does regularly every single week, and it's on the Pat McAfee Show, which is on Sirius XM's Mad Dog Radio network. This is maybe a clarification of what Aaron was talking about on Sunday.
Hey, were you at all surprised to see the wild speculation out there after your post-game comments when you're like, you act like you're everybody's future is up in the air?
It was awesome, by the way. We ran for an hour with it.
I didn't really see a whole lot until maybe yesterday, and then I realized there were some things swirling around. I don't feel like I said anything that I hadn't said before. I said it the first time I talked to the media. It was more a realization, I think, that ultimately my future is not necessarily in my control. And I think that was what just kind of hit me in the moment. I was thinking about, Aaron Jones and Corey Linsley and other guys we have under contract, Big Dog, guys who I don't know what their future is going to be, and myself included. Now, obviously, after the season that I had and, potentially win an MVP, and, we obviously made it another good run, I don't think that there's any reason why I wouldn't be back. But, look, I think there's not many absolutes, as you guys know, in this business. So to make an absolute statement about something that is not an absolute, it's just I didn't do it, and I guess that's why I went kind of nuts.
So I think everybody, though, the reason why, and thanks for clarifying that, by the way, I think a lot of us yesterday kind of pieced that together. I mean, that was, but the conversation was obviously huge. But, when everybody, now the reaction to what you just said there is going to be, so Aaron doesn't even know if he's going to be on the Packers team next year because he's like a Big Dog or like Aaron Jones or something like that. That's going to be the speculation now. It's like, does Aaron feel as if he is the piece the Green Bay Packers get? Like, that's the shit that's going to come from that statement, you know?
Well, and frankly, Pat, you know me and AJ, yep. I don't give a shit about that. I couldn't care any less about speculation off of that. I don't think people are used to hearing the truth from athletes. So when they hear the truth, it's so like surprising at times. That's why this show, I think, has been so different than it's because you're hearing somebody who, has been around a long time, who talks to people that he likes and shares like real non pre-rehearsed, non-robotic comments. That's all I said after the game. It was like, obviously, I'm 15 minutes from crying in the locker room with, some of my teammates. I come and sit down and do this interview, and they ask me questions. I give real answers, just like I do on this show. And to me, a reality, not a certainty or an absolute, is that my future is not in my hands. Now, that's really the case for all of us, I think, as players. But you can't, I think naturally, there's times where you let your mind go to maybe, well, I'm going to be a Packer for life, or I'm going to be, you know, I'm going to be like a Tim Duncan or a Jeter or a Kobe and play with one team my entire career. I think naturally you dream about that. I mean, that's kind of like a dream scenario. And I've talked about that for much of my career. I think, you know, when they drafted Jordan, it was more just like the reality kicking in going, hey, that's actually never the case. There are no absolutes in this business. And I think it's a beautiful thing to sit with and to wrap your head around. And I did. And I got to a beautiful place about it. Doesn't mean that that's not still a reality. I think that's the only reality, is that there is no absolutes in this business. I just reiterated that after the game, and I get it. Some people are like, well, you just threw 48 touchdowns and probably going to win MVP. Yeah, I understand that. But again, there's no absolutes in this business. So I gave a real answer in the moment. And then people, obviously, it's a slow week.
A small portion of Aaron Rodgers on with SiriusXM's Pat McAfee. Again, that show is heard as part of the Mad Dog Radio Network. So there's been some speculation, again, even after that explanation about what Aaron meant. Is there speculation about Aaron, you know, they kind of talked about it there. Is Aaron trying to get more money out of the Packers? Is he trying to get some roster changes on the Packers? We do know that the special teams coach, Sean Menenga, we know that he's out as of taping this right now. We don't know if Mike Pettine's going to return next year. I suspect that he's not going to, and maybe that decision has already been made by the time you listen to this, but we also now know that Mike Pettine's contract has expired, so it's not like they have to, you know, give him any severance or anything like that. They can just say, well, his contract expired and we're going to mutually see what the next defensive coordinator position for him is going to be, and we're going to figure out who our next defensive coordinator is going to be. I suspect that's going to change as well. And, you know, sometimes you make an error that's so egregious that it warrants a change. That occasionally does happen. And Mike Pettine did not have his best game this past Sunday on the biggest stage besides the Super Bowl that a team can have, in the conference championship game, and that can't happen. But here's a couple of other things that football fans and Packers fans and Aaron either know or need to know, and that's the salary cap is going down. So it's not like Aaron Rodgers can walk in to Mark Murphy's office or Brian Gutekunst's office and say, you got to rip up my contract with 3 years left on it. He's making $33.5 million per season right now. When he signed it, that was the highest paid. He was the highest paid player in NFL history, the highest paid quarterback in NFL history. And right now he's fifth. But that happens sometimes. You know, he set the bar for the next guy, who set the bar for the next guy, who set the bar for the next guy. And that's why Aaron Rodgers, even though he's going to win his third MVP this season, that's why he's now the fifth highest paid quarterback in the NFL. He's still making $33.5 million per season, and that's what he's scheduled to make for each of the next three seasons. Now, as we all know, in the NFL, contracts are not guaranteed. So at any time, the team can rip up the contract. They're still on the hook for the signing bonus. That's the guaranteed portion of it. And at any time, the player can walk into the general manager's office or the president and CEO's office and request, well, they don't have to grant it, but they can request that, well, let's renegotiate this deal in some way, shape, or form. Make it a little bit more cap friendly now. Give me some deferred money down the road. I suspect that Aaron Rodgers has more money than he will ever know how to spend when you're making $33.5 million per season. And he's, you know, he hasn't been making that in his entire career, obviously, but, you know, he's played 16 years in the NFL. He's got a couple hundred million dollars in the bank. I don't know what he does with all of his money, but he certainly doesn't need, you know, $40, $45 million a year. And here's the other thing. The Packers don't have the ability to give it to him because of COVID this past year. There weren't any fans in the stands. There weren't fans that were in the suites. And that's a huge revenue generator for NFL teams. So while playing allowed Aaron and the rest of the NFL, allowed the players, allowed the coaches, everybody got paid this year because of the television revenue that was guaranteed by CBS and Fox and NBC, ESPN, et cetera, et cetera. But still, even though the television money is where the bulk of the revenue comes in for the NFL, those tickets cost money and they do go somewhere. That money is revenue, significant revenue that the teams all rely on that they just didn't have this year. Now, some fans, you know, say, for example, in Kansas City, there were fans in Arrowhead Stadium from the first game on, but it was limited to about 14 or 15,000. The Packers played in a couple of crowds that were about 7,000 fans or so. The bulk of what we saw this season at Lambeau Field until the playoffs, there were no fans in the stands except for maybe some of the freebies that the team had given out to either family members of the team or some local first responders or whatnot. They did have some fans in the stands for the playoffs, but not very much. I mean, it's been a significant loss of revenue for NFL teams, just like just about everybody that I know. We've all been affected by COVID in one way or another, whether it was someone who got sick. I know maybe some of you have lost a family member, which is tragic, and my heart goes out to you for that. I mean, 400,000 plus Americans have died from this insidious virus that hopefully we can, you know, get on the path to get everybody inoculated with this thing in very short order. That's the hope anyway. Many of you have lost jobs or had your salaries cut. I mean, everybody that I know in one way, shape, or form, every single person that I know has been affected negatively by COVID-19. Someone that I know that's very close to me who works in, we'll just say, a business that's booming. It's the house industry, believe it or not. He's an accountant for a home builder. He got a $20,000 bonus this year because they're so busy this year. And you would think that, wow, he's really raking it in. That's great. Yeah, well, he and his whole family also got sick with COVID. Now, everybody's fine now, but they still were knocked on their asses for a couple of weeks. So even the people that are financially doing better, one way or another, COVID has affected you, and that's what's going on in the NFL right now. The Packers are already over the salary cap, and they can't keep everyone. So Aaron Rodgers can't go into Mark Murphy's office and say 33.5 isn't enough, I need more, unless he's comfortable with the Packers sucking next year because they can't afford any other good players. I want to get back to the Pat McAfee show for just a minute as well. Also, a part of that show on Sirius XM is former Packers linebacker A.J. Hawk, as I mentioned before, and he had this question.
What is the truth then for you? Like right now, you have all the leverage if you want to go back and say, hey, give me 40 a year, like do something. Like, do you have
50?
I guess, where are you with everything's going on right now? I know we're only a couple of days removed from the loss.
60 a year, maybe.
Yeah, 70.
Well, you know, I think in general, that's a weird way to look at it. You know, you start talking about leverage and different things. Like, I don't know. The only leverage I feel like that I have is the way I play, you know? And that speaks for itself. Like,
that's why you have it. That's why you have all the leverage, because of how you play.
You're pretty good.
Well, I know. But I did see, you know, thanks to Tom Fanning, like, I did see, you know, some of these comments being made. And I don't want to go through them one by one and talk about, you know, the falsehoods being said out there, but I haven't even had the conversations yet. You know, look, this is day two. Yesterday was exit meetings. And so I had my meetings with, you know, my quarterback coach and offense coordinator. And you say goodbye to your teammates and stuff. And then you start to clean your locker out. But I'm around this week. So I'm not like jetting out of town and you know, sayonara Green Bay. Like, there's conversations to be had. I'm going to have them. With the right people, but it's the same conversation we have every single year. You know, there's nothing, you know, there's no like big, you know, I'm going to come to the table with, you know, I need this and this and this. Like, look, we have honest conversations about where we're at every single year. And whether that's with Brian, Matt, Mark, I've had these conversations for years. I think it's part of like being a leader on the squad and having a pulse of the team and the direction that we're going. And we'll have the same conversation we do every year.
So Aaron Rodgers is pissed off. He should be. The team played poorly again in the NFC Championship game. Aaron won his only NFC Championship game 10 years ago when the Packers won Super Bowl 45 in Dallas against the Steelers. Since then, it's been one frustration after another. Sometimes the Packers have played well. Sometimes the Packers have played like crap. I mean, you can go through it year by year. 2014, the Packers play like gangbusters in a game they weren't supposed to be competitive in. They outplayed the Seahawks for 55 minutes and then stopped playing football for the last 5 minutes of the game and wound up losing in overtime. Heartbreaking. John Kuhn has called that, I now work with John Kuhn at 97.3 The Game in Milwaukee. John Kuhn has called that the most devastating loss that he has ever been a part of in his entire football career. He's had a couple of losses. He was part of the New Orleans Saints during the playoffs a couple of years ago. Remember that play that the Vikings completed, that touchdown that they completed to win that playoff game? Yeah, John Kuhn was on that team. Still called the Seattle Seahawks loss in 2014 the most devastating loss of his entire career. As far as the Packers, then a couple of years later, they're in Atlanta. Run the table. We've talked about run the table and what that was kind of born out of. They had some injuries. They ran out of gas and they got slaughtered by the Atlanta Falcons. And then last year, the Packers were just manhandled by a better team in San Francisco. But all of those games were on the road. The Packers weren't favored in any of them. They were favored to win this game against the Buccaneers. And the Buccaneers didn't play their best game. Tom Brady threw three interceptions, for crying out loud. The Packers just played like absolute horse crap. Aaron Jones fumbling the ball to start the second half. Tom Brady with a one play, 8 yard touchdown pass. I mean, there were bad coaching decisions. You had man coverage on Scotty Miller with 8 seconds left to play in the first half. That was a terrible decision. Terrible execution. Kevin King was awful enough as it was during the entire game. You're not going to give him any safety help over the top. It was awful. Terrible decision. Maybe the decision that will cost Mike Pettine his job as Packers defensive coordinator. It's an inexcusable mistake. Just as inexcusable as not going for it on fourth down. Fourth and goal from the 8-yard line. You weren't going to get the ball back. At least take a shot at it. So there were the coaching decisions, a couple of questionable calls and non-calls by the officials. You add it all up and Aaron Rodgers is really, really frustrated. He's also 38 years old in December. MVP or not, his skills are going to diminish at some point. We keep waiting for it. You know, who's going to blink first, Brady or Rodgers at this point? I mean, Brady's 43. Looks like he's going to come back for another season. He's back in the Super Bowl, for crying out loud. Rodgers is 37 years old, and he's going to win the MVP, his third of his Hall of Fame career. So you wait for these guys to, are they ever going to blink? Are they ever going to, is Father Time ever going to catch up with them? Well, yeah, eventually, someday. It hasn't yet, though. They've defied the odds. And Aaron knows that. That's why he's mad about what has happened over the course of the last decade. Because when you win your first Super Bowl at 27 and you're thought of as one of the best to ever do this, you wonder how many rings you're going to wind up with. Are you going to wind up with, I don't know, a couple of rings like Peyton Manning? You're going to wind up with 6 rings like Tom Brady? Or are you going to wind up with 1 like Brett Favre, who also won his only Super Bowl at the age of 27. Got there the next season with the Packers, heavily favored against the Broncos, and they lost because they took it cavalierly during the week. Terrible week of practice, and that's how they played on Sunday. And then the Packers never got back there again. And Brett Favre, as a quarterback, never got back there again. And that's what the Packers are dealing with right now. So that's why he's mad. And I get it. I understand. I also think with just about every bit of certainty I have in my body that he's going to come back next season. Okay, we will talk more about this situation with Aaron Rodgers as events warrant. I don't know if events will warrant it, though, to be perfectly honest with you. I think everybody's kind of said their piece. Aaron's frustrated. The team is frustrated. Yes, they're going to make some changes, not only in the coaching staff, but also player personnel, because that happens every single year. But Aaron's coming back next season. I'm absolutely 100% confident of that. All right. One other bit of audio today before we close up shop, and that is from the funeral on Wednesday morning of former Milwaukee Braves, Atlanta Braves, and former Brewers. Great. He wasn't a great player with the Brewers, but he did so much for that team, for the Brewers organization over the years. You can call him a Brewers great if you want, and I do. The greatest ball player, to me, in my mind, the greatest ball player that ever walked the face of the earth, and an incredible man. Someone who, you know, I like to say that heroes don't make diving stops at third base or hit game-winning home runs, and generally that's true, unless there's someone that transcends the playing field. You know, Roberto Clemente transcended the playing field. Jackie Robinson transcended the playing field. Hank Aaron transcended the playing field in every good way that you can possibly imagine. Earlier today in Atlanta, his friend since 1958, former Brewers owner, former baseball commissioner, the man who brought Hank back to Milwaukee to play for the Brewers to end off his career, the man who brought baseball back to Milwaukee after the Braves left in 1965, someone, again, who's been very, very close friends with Hank Aaron for, well, again, 1958. I'm terrible at math, but that's well over 50 years. Well over 50 years. Bud Selig spoke at Hank Aaron's funeral earlier today.
Billy, Sue and I extend to you, your family, and your friends our love and our deepest sympathies. All of us here today share your profound sadness. I know Commissioner Manfred was here with the Braves people yesterday in a beautiful, beautiful ceremony, and he joins me in all of this. Henry and I were great friends for more than 62 years. In my humble opinion, he was no doubt the greatest player of our generation. But more important, he was a great and wonderful human being. Neither fame or fortune changed his extraordinary kindness and empathy, which led to his greatness off the field. His impact not only on baseball, but on all of America will never be forgotten. I remember when Henry first came to Milwaukee in 1954. It was the Braves' second season. He made an immediate impact as a 20-year-old, hitting .280 with 13 home runs, but that was only a hint of what was to come. One of my fondest and most memorable moments in my long career occurred at County Stadium on September 23rd, 1957. The Braves and the St. Louis Cardinals were locked in a very close race for the National League pennant. That night, the Braves had the opportunity to clinch the pennant with a victory. The only ticket I could get was an obstructed view seat in the bleachers behind a big metal post. But what a game. It was tied going into the bottom of the 11th inning when Henry came to the plate and hit a laser to center field. Cardinal outfielder Wally Moon went to the wall, had no chance. Home run, game over, Braves win the pennant, Braves go to the World Series. The fans went wild and so did the Braves. It was an incredible celebration. The image of the great Aaron, deliriously happy, being hoisted on the shoulders of his teammates and being carried off the field is indelibly imprinted in my memory. The next day, the New York Times published a photograph on its front page that juxtaposed the ironic contrast of white man carrying a black man off the field in Milwaukee with a photograph taken in Little Rock, Arkansas, where Governor Orville Faubus, white troops were battling black students who were merely trying to go to school. The comparison between the ideals being shown by Henry's place in baseball compared to the reprehensible politics of race in Little Rock could not have been more clear. Henry and I became friends in 1958. We were both big football fans and we went to Packer games together. The only time we were on opposite sides is when the Packers played Henry's beloved Cleveland Browns. We continued our friendship after the Braves moved to Atlanta. Throughout my years in baseball, I often said that baseball was a social institution with important social responsibilities. And of course, a great example of that was Jackie Robinson's entry into the game in 1947. which in many ways was baseball's most powerful and important moment. But another memorable and equally critical moment in baseball's social history occurred on April 8, 1974. Of course, that's the day Henry hit his 750th career home run, breaking the all-time record held by Babe Ruth. But this was so much more than just breaking a revered baseball record. The imagery of a black man being given a standing ovation in the Deep South was a powerful civil rights moment, but one for which there was a heavy price to be paid. As you all know, Henry had received horrific hate mail and death threats. Over the years, Henry showed me some of the vile mail he received. The letters were shocking and to me demonstrated how only a person with his great inner strength and determination could overcome the kind of hate mail he did. In 1975, in the twilight of Henry's playing career, I made one of the most important decisions during my ownership of the Milwaukee Brewers, bringing Henry back to Milwaukee his final 2 years. He had a significant impact on our great young player, Robin Yount, and many other players. He was beloved in Milwaukee and throughout the state of Wisconsin as he was nationwide. He had a special relationship with our fans. That was particularly evident when my daughter Wendy and I asked him to help us convince Wisconsin legislators to support our plan for a new ballpark to keep the Brewers in Milwaukee. It was a thrill of a lifetime for many of them to have the opportunity to meet and chat with Henry. He spoke passionately about how important baseball was for the community and the state. We prevailed, and to this day, I'm not sure we would have without his efforts and goodwill. The best way we know to thank him was to expand our support for his and Billy's beloved Chasing the Dream Foundation, which provides financial assistance to underserved kids. Henry was such a wonderful ambassador for the game, was always willing to do whatever he could to make baseball better and, more importantly, more relevant. Over the years as a baseball commissioner, I had asked Henry to attend many events and dinners. He was always willing. One such event was a congressional hearing. The subject, steroids. I must say the members of Congress seemed to be much more interested in spending time with Henry than they were on the subject of steroids. It was a beautiful day in Washington, D.C. We talked about the hearing, about baseball, and about our long friendship. Along the way, he said, "Who would have imagined," this is 1958 when we met, "all those years ago, that I, a black kid from Mobile, Alabama, would break Babe Ruth's home record, and you, a Jewish kid from Milwaukee, would become baseball commissioner." Well, Henry was a man of grace, a man of patience, a man of tolerance, remarkable dignity under many tough situations, integrity and loyalty. Henry, we're going to miss you. We'll never forget you, but we'll always be grateful for you showing all of us how to chase our dreams.
Baseball Commissioner Bud Selig eulogizing his friend of well over 50 years, the late, great Hank Aaron. The tributes will continue. They should continue. This is a man who has earned every kind word that has been said about him before his passing and certainly since his passing last week, Friday. All right, coming up this week, Friday, in a couple of days, there is a new controversy surrounding the Baseball Hall of Fame. We'll dive into that. Plus, we will dive into Bucs season, something that we haven't done much of the last several weeks. But barring major unforeseen news, which has happened, we can finally put the Packers 2020 season to bed with the promise of better days ahead. We will see you on Friday right here on the Doug Russell Podcast.